It's April 11th. We are in Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18. The last thing we spoke about was the conquest of the 10 tribes by Sancheirev, and also we talked about the Kusim, who were put in the areas of where the 10 tribes had lived. And now we're going to backtrack a few years to before they went, the 10 tribes were taken into Golus. And this talk about Malchus Yehuda, about the southern kingdom, where Chizkiyahu becomes king. Remember that Chizkiyahu's father, Ahaz, was a tremendous Rasha, where he was not, where most of the Malchus Yehuda were tzaddikim, he was a terrible Rasha, did terrible, terrible things, and in the end was destroyed. And part of his destruction was that he was attacked by Sancheirev. So now Chizkiyahu becomes king. Chizkiyahu, we're now going to speak about for a good long time. There's a lot to talk about with Chizkiyahu and Sancheirev. I already told you that. But this will go on for several weeks. This discussion of Chizkiyahu and Sancheirev is going to span Malachim, where we are, Divrei Hayamim, and Sefer Yeshayahu. There'll be a lot that we're going to do in those other Sfarim as well, because there's a lot about this story. Now, the story begins with Chizkiyahu becoming king. Chizkiyahu becomes king, as we're going to see now in Malachim, while Hoshea ben Ela was still the king in the northern kingdom. They had not yet been taken into Galus. And Chizkiyahu is immediately going to show himself to be different than his father. Where Achaz was a tremendous Rasha, Chizkiyahu is going to show himself to be a tremendous Tzaddik. We know that ultimately Chizkiyahu did so well that Hashem wanted to make him into the Melech HaMashiach. Chizkiyahu is a descendant of David HaMelech, and therefore he could have been Mashiach. And that's the level he was on. He was on a level where he could have been the Melech HaMashiach. So we're talking about someone who is almost unparalleled in his greatness. The reasons that he did not become the Mashiach, we can talk about when we get to it. But whether the fact that he did not become Mashiach does not detract from how great he was. Meaning he was fit to be the Mashiach. So it means we're talking about a huge person. So in Malachim, we get a very, very small glimpse into his greatness. In Divrei Hayamim, we get actually several prakim, several chapters dealing with his greatness. So we're going to read a little bit of Malachim tonight, and then we're going to segue into Divrei Hayamim to discuss his greatness. When we get to the part where he's going to be dealing with Sancheirev and the battle and all that, that will be largely Malachim, and then even more in Yeshayahu. So that's how we're going to be moving around from this far. As I said, it'll take several weeks to do. Perek Yerches, chapter 18, Vahim Bishnas Shalosh Hoshea ben Ela Melech Yisrael, was the third year of Hoshea ben Ela, the king of Israel. We learned before, this does not mean the third year of Hoshea, it means the third year of his rebellion against Sancheirev. Malach Chizkiyah ben Achaz Melech Yehuda. Chizkiyah, the son of Achaz, became king over Yehuda. He was 25 years old when he became king. He ruled in Yerushalayim for 29 years. His mother's name was Avi, the daughter of Zechariah. In Divrei Hayamim, she was called Avia, Bas Zechariah. That was her name. We mentioned her before because she saved her son, because Achaz was interested in burning his son as a tribute to Avodah Zarah, and she saved him from being incinerated. Vayas Hayashar Bein Hashem, Chizkiyahu did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem, Kechol Asher Asa David Aviv, like everything that David his father did. Chizkiyahu is given the rare praise of actually doing like David, not sort of like David, not kind of like David, but like David himself. So what did he do? Hu heisiras habamos, he removed the bamos, which we've had before, other righteous kings who did everything good except for removing the bamos. But Chizkiyahu didn't stop. He got rid of the bamos, the private altars. V'shibas ha-matzevos, he broke the, again, another word for altars. V'charas eso asherah, he cut down the asherah, which is the avodah zarah trees. V'chitas nechash ha-nechoshes asher asa Moshe, he also cut down the copper snake that Moshe had made. You may remember in Parshas Bahaloscha, there was a plague against the Jewish people of snakes, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to build, to make a copper snake, and put it up on a high area, high pole, for everybody to see. And it says those who looked at the copper snake were healed. The Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah, you think the copper snake made the people feel better? How could that be? So the Gemara says, because when people looked up at the copper snake, they looked towards Shamayim, they remembered Hashem, they were machnia liban lavim shema Shamayim, they humbled themselves to their Father in heaven, and that's what healed them. So the snake was the catalyst to bring people to Yirah Shamayim. However, as time went on, that copper snake became an avodah zarah. People started to think that it provided healing. So the Chizkiyahu cut it down. Now that's a significant move on his part. This is something from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. It's not just from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made it. You imagine something that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu that's in your hands. You have something made by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and Chizkiyahu cut it down. He didn't allow the fact that it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu to matter. If it was causing the people to do averos, it's got to go. Can't last. Can't be around. So he cut it down. Kiara yomi mahema, because until those days, the Jews were slaughtering, or actually burning incense to it. Vayikra lo nechushtan. He called it nechushtan. Nechushtan is a pejorative for something made of copper.
But so the nachash. Nachash is a snake.
Yeah. Well, Hashem told him to make it out of copper. The two words are similar. Mm-hmm. But he called nechushtan is like a, it's like a, I don't know if we have an equivalent in English, but it's something made of copper spoken of in a derogatory way. Like, you know, the copper thing. You know, he gave it a name. Ba'Hashem Elokei Yisrael Batach, he relied on Hashem, the God of Yisrael, Va'acharav lo haya chamohu b'chomach Yehuda, and after him there was nobody like him, and all the kings of Yehuda, Va'asher hayu lefanav, and no one before him either. In a certain way, he was greater than all the other kings. And we had before Yosam, who was the greatest tzaddik of all the kings, but Yosam did not do as great deeds as Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, in certain ways, was the greatest of all the kings, and he's the only one of the kings who could have been Mashiach. Actually, with the exception of David, and Shlomo, but after them. Vayidbak b'Hashem, he clinged to Hashem, lo sarmei achrav, he did not turn from him. Vayishmor mitzvosav, and he guarded his mitzvos, asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, Hashem commanded Moshe. Hashem was with him everywhere he went. Everything where he went out, he was successful. He rebelled against the king of Ashur and did not serve him. He was unwilling to serve the king of Ashur. One more pasuk. Who he cut as plishtim? He also struck the plishtim at Aza, veskluveha to Aza and all of its boundaries. Mimigdal notzrim ad yirmivtzar, from migdal notzrim till yirmivtzar, he destroyed. He beat down the plishtim. Now the Navi jumps ahead to the fourth year of Chizkiyahu. In Divrei Hayamim, we have a lot of information about the first year of Chizkiyahu. So we're going to pause here at Pasuk Tes, verse 9, which jumps ahead, and move to Divrei Hayamim. Before I talk to you about Divrei Hayamim, let me tell you that the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah says, Chizkiyahu HaMelech did six things. Now, he did more than six things, but it means he did six significant things that required a lot of, for lack of a better word, I hate to use this word talking about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, it required a lot of guts. It means he did six things that were...
Courageous,
right. Six things. The Mishnah says, Al Shlosha Hodulo, Val Shlosha Lo Hodulo. And three things, the Chachamim agreed with him, and on three things they did not agree with him. Which means all six were courageous, all six were done by Chizkiyahu. He was the Gadol Hador, he had the right to make these decisions. However, the Chachamim only agreed with him on half of what he did, not the other half. So, which means when we talk about the things that he did that they disagreed with, we're going to have to understand what was his reasoning to do it, and what was their reasoning to be against it. Because if Chizkiyahu did it, it's got to have a good reason. Even if they said he was wrong, there must be two sides to the story, and we'll have to discuss that. Mm-hmm. But three things he did that he was his own doing, and they agreed with him. So we haven't gotten to all of them yet. One of them is cutting down the Nechash Nechoshes, cutting down that copper snake. It was a courageous thing to do. No one else thought of doing it. He did it. He did it. He acted on his own. He made the decision. And the Chachamim said, Yashikarech. That was great. No one had the idea, but after he did it, they said, it was really unbelievable that he did it. Another thing he did, which happened now, is that he dragged his father, Achaz, his father's bones, on a mita shel chavolim, which means that he did not bury Achaz with honor. He, instead of having some sort of a beautiful procession with a beautiful they call it a bed. It's a coffin, but it's without a cover. It's a way we would call it a stretcher. It's a way of transferring the dead. They didn't bury in coffins, right? So they. It was a way of carrying the mace from one place to the graveyard. He put him on a bed, a stretcher of rope. And that's coarse, nothing nice. And he did it on purpose to show that Achaz was a Rasha and that what he did was wrong. It also helped give Achaz some kapara, some atonement, because Achaz was going to be punished after he died. And Chizkiyahu wanted to try to atone for him. So on that also, that was one of the things that the Chachamim praised him for. They agreed with him. Again, that was a courageous thing to do. It was not something anybody else had thought of doing, and no one else would have done it, but Chizkiyahu held it was the right thing to do, and he did it, and he was praised for that. So those are two of the things. Later, we'll get to the third thing that he did, and also the three things that he did that they did not agree to. But that's what the Mishnah says about Chizkiyahu. In Divrei Hayamim, the story of Chizkiyahu begins in Divrei Hayamim Beis, in Perek Chav Tes, chapter 29. So the beginning of Perek Chav Tes, chapter 29, is the same as here. Okay. Perek Gimel, chapter 3. Verse 3. Hu vashano harishono lemalcho, in the first year of his reign, b'chodesh harishon, in the first month, he opened up the doors of the house of Hashem and he strengthened them. Achaz had almost closed down the Beis HaMikdash. So Chizkiyahu opened up the Beis HaMikdash and he strengthened the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. And he gathered the Kohanim and the Levim on the eastern thoroughfare. And he said to them, Shema'uni Alavim, listen to me, the Alavim. Ata hiskadshu, now sanctify yourselves. Vikadshu es beis Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, and sanctify the house of Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash. Vehotziu es hanida min hakodesh, and remove all of the tamei things from the Kodesh. Why? Ki malu avoseinu, because our fathers, our ancestors, they misused the Beis HaMikdash. V'asu harabei nei Hashem Elokeinu. They did evil in the eyes of Hashem. V'yazvu, they forsook him. V'yasevu pneyem mimishkan Hashem v'yitnu oref. They turned their faces away from the house of Hashem and they turned their backs to him. Gam sagru dalso se'ulam. They also closed the doors of the sanctuary. V'yikchabu es haneros. They extinguished the lights. Uktoris lo hiktiru. They didn't offer the incense. Va'ola lo he'elu v'akodesh. They didn't bring the karbanos le'elokei Yisrael. V'yiketzav Hashem al Yehuda v'Yishalayim. Because of that, there was a plague of Hashem against Yehuda and Yishalayim. V'yitneim le'zava l'shama v'lish reka. And he put them to degradation. Kasher atem roim be'inechem, as you see in your eyes. Bechar, of our ancestors fell in the, by the sword. And our children, sons, daughters, and wives were taken captive because of this. Now it is with my heart to make a covenant with Hashem. And his anger will be removed from us. Banai, my sons, Alta alti shalu, now do not don't make a mistake. Don't do anything wrong. Ki b'chem b'char Hashem, because in you, the Kohanim and the Levim, Hashem chose lama the fun of l'sharso, to stand before him and serve him. V'liyo aslo misharsim umaktirim, and to be his servants and those who offer the incense. V'yakumu l'avim, so the Levim got up. Machas ben Amasai, v'yoral ben Azaryahu, min b'nei akyasi, these are the names of the Levim. U'min b'nei merari, kish ben Avdi, v'Azaryahu ben Yehalel El, Umina Gershuni Yoach ben Zima ve Eden ben Yoach. Umibidea Litzafan Shomri Shimri V-E-V-E-L. Umibidea Asaf Zechariahu Matanyahu. Names them. Umibidea Heiman Yechiel Vishimi. Umibidea Yedusun Shemaya Vuziel. Okay, so these are the ones who got up to lead this charge that they'd been given to sanctify themselves and the Beis HaMikdash. Vayasu asachem, they gathered their brothers. Vayiskadshu, and they sanctified themselves. Vayavo kmitzvas hamelach b'divrei Hashem, they came with the commandment of the king and the word of Hashem, l'taher beis Hashem, to purify the house of Hashem. Vayavo akohanim lifnima, the kohanim came inside beis Hashem, l'taher, to purify it. Vayotziu es kol hatuma asher matzu b'echal Hashem, they removed all the tumah they found in the sanctuary of Hashem. L'chatzar beis Hashem, to the courtyard. The Levim accepted. The Kohanim went in because the Levim couldn't go in because it was the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim brought them out, brought out all the Tumah, all the Avodah Zarah, gave it to the Levim. The Levim took it out to Nachal Kidron, to the river outside. Now, this is all taking place in the first year of Chizkiyahu, and it's taking place in the first month of the year. Nisan is when it is taking place. We are going to see presently that this was shocking to everybody because everybody knew Achaz was such a terrible Rasha. No one could believe that Chizkiyahu, his son, was such a great tzaddik. And that it's one thing that Chizkiyahu would slowly improve the situation. But in his first year, right away, immediately, Chizkiyahu doesn't waste any time whatsoever. He immediately turns the country 180 and eradicates all of the Avodah Zarah and the Bamos and purifies the Beis HaMikdash. Because it was so sudden, as we'll see, the Navi himself is going to say it was sudden, therefore those who should have been involved reacted slowly because people weren't really sure this was for real. So they're working with a skeletal crew at first. Now, it's Nisan. The Beis HaMikdash is in shambles and they have to fix it up. So there's a deadline. Pesach is coming. So we think of Pesach as coming. We just went through this in terms of Chametz, right? And Yantif. Well, they had a Beis HaMikdash that had to get ready for the busiest day of the year of the Beis HaMikdash, which is Erev Pesach. There's no busier time than that. And there wasn't a functioning Beis HaMikdash. And it was in shambles. And here they had to really move. So, Pasuk Yitzayim, verse 17, they didn't make it. They started on the first day of the first month. They started on Rosh Chodesh to sanctify. And it wasn't until the 8th of the month they actually got into the building itself. There was so much Avodah Zarah and so much Tumah all throughout the complex, they didn't actually get to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning they were in the courtyard area. It took them 8 days just to get till there. Vayikachu as Beis Hashem liyamim shmona, took them 8 more days to sanctify the house of Hashem. Uviyom shisha asar lachodesh harishon kilu, on the 16th of Nisan they finally finished. It took them 1 day too long, really 2 days too long. It was already the second day of Pesach by the time they finished sanctifying the Beis HaMikdash. It was too late. They did not make it in time for Pesach. Vayavohu finima. the Chazal tell us that it was so bad that Achaz had actually etched into the walls pictures of Avodah Zarah. So they had to, it's like graffiti, they had to actually clean the walls. They had actually, it wasn't paint, it was etched in. So they had to scrape it, they had to really clean it out. So it was a lot of work to do. And they didn't have thousands of people to help them. Because as I said, people reacted slowly to the news that there was a new sheriff in town. Yerches 18. Vayavo Finima, they came inside El Chizkiyo HaMelech, to Chizkiyo Vayomru, they said, Tiharnu es kobes Hashem, we purified the whole house of Hashem, ves Mizbach HaOlah, and also the Mizbech, ves Kol Kelav, and all the utensils, ves Shulchan HaMareches, and also the Shulchan, ves Kol Kelav, and all its utensils. Ves Kol HaKelim HaShem, Hizniach HaMelech Achaz B'Malchuso, B'Ma'alo, and all of the utensils that Achaz had defiled in his Averos, Heichanu, they got rid of them. Vihikdashnu, Heichanu, we got rid of them. Vihikdashnu, and we made new ones. Many of the kelim had to be replaced. They actually had to discard the old ones and make new ones. Vihinam lifnei mizbach Hashem, they are there in front of the altar of Hashem. So now, what do you do? It's the 16th of Nisan. Finally, everything is ready, but it's too late. So,
did they know that Pesach had just...
But they couldn't finish in time.
Okay, but they knew.
Yeah, they did the best they could. So what do you do if you don't make it in time for Pesach?
There's Pesach Sheni.
Yeah. Pesach has a second chance. Yeah. Right? It's not Sukkos, it's not Shavuos, it's Pesach. So you have a second chance. So, Vayashkei Mechizkiyo HaMelech, Chizkiyo got up early in the morning. Vayasof Esarei Ha'ir, he gathered the officers of this city. Vayabes Hashem, he went up to the house of Hashem. Now, what he did first is he brought karbanos to initiate the mizbech. This is like a Chanukah Sabayis, similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu does actually in this week's parashah in Shmini in initiating the Mishkan, similar to what the Chashmonaim did after they rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, similar to what Shlomo Melech did when he made the Beis HaMikdash in the first place. Here there's a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. So, what he does is Vayaviu Farim Shiva, he brings seven bulls, Ve'elim Shiva and seven rams, Uchavasim Shiva and seven sheep, Utsfire Izim Shiva and seven goats, Lechatas as a Chatas, Alamam Lacha Ve'alam Mikdash Val Yehuda, on the kingdom and on the king Mikdash and on Yehuda. Vayomer Levnei Aaron HaKohanim Mahalos Amizbach Hashem, and he told Bnei Aaron HaKohanim to bring them up on the altar of Hashem. This was an official proclamation. It was like cutting the ribbon. He said, offer these karbanos on the Mizbeach of Hashem, not on the Mizbeach of Avodah Zarah, not on Bamos, on the Mizbeach Hashem. That was the official proclamation. The Chazal tell us that these karbanos were a Hora'as Sha'ah, that they are not mentioned in the Torah, that the Nevi'im in the day of Chizkiyahu instructed him that they should bring these karbanos, a special dispensation. They were brought at this time. Chaf Beis 22, Vayishkatu HaBakar, they slaughtered the bulls. Vayikablu HaKohanim Es Adam, the Kohanim received the blood. Vayizriku HaMizbecha, they threw in the Mizbech. Vayishkatu HaYilim, they slaughtered the rams. Vayizriku HaAdam HaMizbecha, they threw the blood. Vayishkatu HaKvasim, same thing with the sheep. Vayizriku HaTam HaMizbecha. Vayagishu HaChatas, also the goats, for Chatas Lifnei HaMelech, VeHaKohol. Vayismuchu Yedem Aleim, the people and the king and the people leaned their hands on the goats. And they did smicha on the goats, which is what you're supposed to do when you do if a person does an avera, they lean on the animal and they say vidui. They admit their sins. Vayishchatu ma'akohanim, the kohanim slaughtered them. Vayichatu es damam ha'mizbecha, they put the blood on the mizbeach. L'chaper al kol Yisrael, to atone for all the Jews. Ki l'chol Yisrael amar ha'melech ha'olah v'achatas, because this king said this would be for all the Jews an olah v'achatas. Vayamedes halavim beis Hashem, and he stood the levim in the house of Hashem, bim tziltayim, bin volim, uvechino ros, different instruments, bim mitzvahs David v'god chose ha-melech, v'nasan ha-levi, with the commandment of David, and the Nevi'im God, and Nasan, who were the Nevi'im in the days of David ha-melech, they were the ones who first instructed levim to play music during the Karbanos, ki b'yad Hashem, mitzvah b'yad Nevi'im, because it was the hand of Hashem, the mitzvah was given over it by the Nevi'im, that levim should sing and play music during the Karbanos. Vayamdu alavim mechlei David, vakonim b'chatzotzros. And the levim stood with the utensils of David. The instruments of the Beis HaMikdash are called the utensils of David. Fascinating. Not only the harp, but the instruments played in the Beis HaMikdash are called the clay David. And the Kohanim had the chatzotzros, have the trumpets. Vayom chizkiyo lahalo sa'ola lahamizbeach. They told him to bring the Ola. And when the Ola was first brought up, so then they began to sing and to blow the trumpets, and to play the instruments. And the whole Kahal bowed down. And they were singing. And the trumpets were trumpeting. Everything was done until the Ola was finished being brought. Uchichalos lehalos, and when they finished bringing them up, karu amelech v'cholan mitzim ito v'yishtachavu. They all bowed down. Vayomer yichizkiyahu amelech. So the king said, the asarim and the officers lalavim to the levim, lahalel lahashem, to say halal to Hashem. B'divrei David v'asaf hachose, the words of David and Asaf the chose. Vayalu ad lisimcha, and they praised until happiness. Vayikdu v'yishtachavu, and they bowed again. Vayan Yechizkiyo Vayomer, and Yechizkiyo said, Atanel, Mileisem Yerchem LaHashem, you have fulfilled your hands to Hashem, which means you've been initiated now back into the Beis HaMikdash. Goshu V'aviyu Zvachem V'sodos the Beis HaShem. Now you, all of you who are here, should bring Karbanos, Shlamim, and Todos, and thanksgiving offerings to Hashem. V'aviyu HaKohol Zvachem V'sodos V'chol Nedivlev Olos. So everybody brought Karbanos, Shlomim, and Todos, and anybody who wanted to brought an Ola, which means everybody had to bring either a Shlomim or a Toda. Anybody who wanted to could bring an Ola as well.
Why is he not called with a Yud, Yechizkiyahu, as opposed to Chizkiyahu?
I don't know when the Navi chooses one over the other.
Oh, okay.
We find both.
Okay.
Vayihi mispar ha'ola asher hiviu akahol. So how much did they bring? It's not so much. Bakar shivim, 70 bulls. Elim meya, 100 rams. Kvasim masaim, 200 sheep. La'ola la'Hashem kolela. That's the ola for Hashem. So it was a total of 370 olos. Ve'akadashim, and the shlamim that were brought. Bakar sheish meos, 600 bulls. Vitzon shloshes alafim, and 3,000 sheep. It's just not that much. There weren't that many people who were there in this initial rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. As I said before, people were slow in getting on the bandwagon. It was such a sudden change. Rak ha-kohanim hayu lim'at, but the kohanim were very few. V'lo yachlu lehafshit es kol ha'olos. There were so few, they weren't enough kohanim to skin all of the olos. There weren't enough kohanim to do the work. Vayechazkum achem alavim, so their brothers, the levim, strengthened them. They helped them. Ad kolos hamalacha, until the malacha was done, till the work was done. Va'ad yiskachu hakohanim, and also till the other kohanim could themselves become kadosh. Ki halevim yishrei levav liyiskadesh me'akohanim, because the levim were straight of heart to become sanctified quicker than the Kohanim. The Levim jumped on the bandwagon faster than the Kohanim. There were more Levim. Anyway, there were more Levim, but even proportionally, more Levim showed up more quickly than the Kohanim. So there weren't enough Kohanim to process all of the Karbanos. So the Levim helped out. Now, the Levim cannot help out in those things that only Kohanim are allowed to do. But they could help out with skinning the animals. Skinning the animals does not have to be done by a Kohen, so the Levim helped out in that area. We'll see later that the Levim also are going to help with the Shechita, with slaughtering, because that also can be done by a Levi. V'gam Ola LaRov, B'chel V'yashlamim V'anasachim LaOla, and also there was a lot of Olos brought, and a lot of Shlamim, and Nesachim, libations, were brought as well. Vatikon avodas beis Hashem, and the service of Hashem was now established. Vayismach yizkizkiyo v'chol ha'am, and Chizkiyahu and all the nation were happy al ha'hechinu ha'elokim la'am, that Hashem had established the nation. Ki b'fis'o ma'ya ha'davar, because the thing was sudden. It was a sudden change from Achaz, the big Rasha, to Chizkiyahu, the great Tzaddik. And he does it in his first year immediately. And that's why people were slow in joining together, and that's why they were late and were not able to bring the Pesach and not able to celebrate Pesach properly. Therefore, Paraglama chapter 30. Vayishlach Yechizkiyahu al kol Yisrael v'Yehuda. Yechizkiyahu sends messengers to all of Yisrael and Yehuda. V'gam igros kosav al Ephraim and Menashe. He even sent letters to Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe are in the northern kingdom, in Malchus Yisrael, not in his kingdom. Love all the ways Hashem Yerushalayim, to come to the house of Hashem Yerushalayim. Lasos Pesach la Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to make a carbon Pesach. When? Not on Pesach, but
Pesach Sheni.
Chizkiyahu is attempting, for the first time since the days of Rechavam and Yeravam ben Nevat, when the kingdom split, he is attempting to bring together all the Jewish people for a carbon Pesach. Because until now, all of the Malchai Yisrael, the northern kingdom, prevented, because of Yeravam ben Nevat, they prevented the Jews from going to be Olah Regel. And people could not come, even if they wanted to. And there was such rampant Avodah Zarah. Now Chizkiyahu wants to change it. And you'll recall we learned that Hoshea ben Ela, the last king of the northern kingdom, who is still king at this time, he was Mevatel. He stopped, he nullified the guards on the roads and allowed, for the first time, allowed the people to go to Yerushalayim. We asked, the Gemara says, if Hoshea ben Ela finally, stopped the terrible practice of stopping the Jews from going to the Beis HaMikdash and allowed them to go, then how come in his day the 10 tribes were taken into Golus? You would think that he was better than all the rest, so they should not have been taken into Golus. So we learned the reason is because it was a complaint against the northern kingdom, because when he removed the guards, people didn't go. As long as there were guards there, there was an excuse. They couldn't go. But once the guards were removed and still people didn't go, then it was a terrible strike against the Jews of the northern kingdom. So here's our story of them not going. Chizkiyahu is trying, is here sending messengers all over. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Vayivatz HaMelech V'Sarah V'Chol HaKol B'Yerushalayim La'asav HaPesach B'Chodesh HaSheni. The king and all of his officers and all of the Kahal, all the congregation, they decided they would make a Pesach Sheni, Pesach in the second month. Ki lo yachlu la'asos b'bayis ha'hi, they couldn't do it in the first month. Ki ha'kohanim lo hiskadshu l'madai, because there weren't enough Kohanim, they hadn't purified themselves quickly enough. V'ham lo nesfu l'Yerushalayim, the nation had not gathered to Yerushalayim. V'yishara davar b'nei ha'melech u'b'nei kol ha'kohal. So it was straight in the eyes of the king and all the Kahal that they should make a Pesach Sheni. V'yamidu davar l'havir kol b'chol Yisrael mi'ber sheva v'adon. They decided to send this proclamation, right, in all of Eretz Yisrael, from Beersheba till Dan, to make the Pesach, because it had not been done properly for many years, hundreds of years it had not been done properly. So the messengers went with their letters, Miyad HaMelech V'Sarav, from the hand of the king and his officers, B'chol Yisrael Yehuda and all of Yisrael Yehuda. U'v'chemitzvas HaMelech Leymar, and with the command of the king saying, B'nei Yisrael, Shuvu El Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yisrael, return to Hashem, the God of Avram Yitzchak and Yisrael, V'yashov El HaPleita HaNisheres Lachem, and he will return to the remainder that you have, your remainder, those who are still here, Mikaf Malchei Ashur, who have not yet been hurt or been taken by the king of Ashur. Rashi tells us why they're called the remainder. Remainder means after there's been a conquest and people have been killed or taken away, the Pleita is the remnant. Here, it hasn't happened yet. The king of Ashur has not yet conquered the northern kingdom. So why are they called the Pleita? So Rashi tells us, Chazal say, they knew they were going to be taken by Ashur. They knew, the northern kingdom knew, that they did not have the merit to be saved. But at least they could do a Pesach before they would be conquered by Ashur. Val tiu kavoseichem, don't be like your fathers, v'chachechem, and your brothers, ha'shemalu ba'ashem elokei avoseichem, that they sinned against Hashem. Vayitneim l'shama ka'asher atem roim, and he, Hashem, degraded them as you see. Atanel, al takshu arpechem, don't stiffen your necks, kavoseichem, like your fathers, tu yad la'ashem, give your hand to Hashem, uvo l'mikdasho, and come to his HaMikdash, asher hikdish la'olam, that he sanctified forever, v'ivduas Hashem elokeichem, and serve Hashem your God, v'yashov mikem charon apo, and his anger will leave you. Because when you return to Hashem, your brothers and your children will then be given mercy by those who take them captive. Return to this land. So if you serve Hashem, you will have merit that even though many have already been taken captive, some will be taken captive, but they will at least, those who take them captive will then have mercy on them. Because Hashem, your God, is merciful. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. However, they went from city to city in the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Zvulun, till Zvulun. They were made fun of. They were dismissed. The people, by and large, did not listen. Now, there were some who did. There were people from Asher, Menashe, and Zvulun who humbled themselves and did come to Yerushalayim. But by and large, the northern kingdom did not respond to this call of Chizkiyahu. Also in Yehuda, though, there was the hand of Hashem, that they had one heart, lasos mitzvas hamelech, to do what the king had said, v'asarim bidvar Hashem. So in Yehuda, there was a mass gathering to Hashem. V'yeyasfu Yerushalayim amrav lasos eschag amatzos v'achodash hasheni kahol l'rov mod, that they wanted to make Pesach in the second month a huge gathering. The huge gathering was mostly from Yehuda, with some representation from the northern kingdom. And they were now about to make a Pesach Sheni. So we see here Chizkiyahu's sense of responsibility. Chizkiyahu was not king over the northern kingdom, he was king over the southern kingdom. But he decided to do the responsible thing and attempt to gather everybody together. It did not work. The northern kingdom refused, and they were going to get taken into Galus. But you see, Chizkiyahu had a sense of responsibility for everybody. When you part of the question of why did Chizkiyahu merit to be in the running to be Mashiach, so part of the answer to that question is he was a Baal Achrayas. He was a person who took responsibility. He said, if there's a whole nation of Jews, then I have to do whatever I can for everybody. Even though it's been hundreds of years since anybody from the north has come to Yerushalayim, but I'm going to try. And it was unsuccessful, by and large. But nevertheless, he tried. He put in the effort. Yudalat 14. Now, they want to make a Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, let's review the rules of Pesach Sheni before we read the rest of this. Pesach Rishon is brought on the 14th of Nisan. That's when the carbon is brought. It is eaten the night of the 15th of Nisan, which is the first night of Pesach, at the Seder. It is eaten with matzah and with maror. We're not allowed to have chametz in the house, starting from the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, which is when you can bring the carbon, for that afternoon and then the next 7 days. Pesach Sheni is on the 14th day of Iyar, the second month. The Pesach is eaten with matzah and with maror, just like the Pesach Rishon. Chametz is allowed. There's no rule to get rid of chametz. You can eat chametz with the matzah. There's no rule of not having chametz. You have to eat matzah. You have to eat maror with the Pesach Sheni. But there's nothing wrong with having chametz. Not only are you allowed to own it, you're allowed to eat it. There's no Yom Tov. It's not a yontif. There's no holiday. And there's no 7 days. It's not Pesach. It's just that one afternoon of offering the carbon. Now, it happens to be when people offered karbanos, they often made it into a personal Yom Tov. But it wasn't officially a yontif. But the people here were excited. They were gathering now, the first major gathering in Yerushalayim in many years, because Achaz had defiled everything. And they were making a Pesach. And there were representation even from the Northern Kingdom. This was exciting. So, and they had missed Pesach itself. So they wanted more. And therefore, as we see, they're going to turn Pesach Sheni into a bigger thing than it has to be. Now, they didn't do anything wrong, which means that they didn't do Chas V'Shalom like Yeravam ben Nevat did, which Yeravam ben Nevat abolished Sukkis, made a new Yontif in Cheshvan. That was one of his big averos. They didn't do that over here. They didn't abolish Pesach. They didn't make a new Yontif. They didn't do anything wrong. But they made a big celebration with Pesach Sheni, much more than Pesach Sheni would normally warrant.
That's why Hedra Mitzvah?
Yeah. Especially since normally Pesach Sheni doesn't have most of the Jews, because most Jews do Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni is for the few who weren't able to do Pesach Rishon, do Pesach Sheni. Here, it was everybody. No one was able to do Pesach Rishon. So Pesach Sheni in this particular year became a major thing. Vayakumu, they got up. They removed all of the altars that were in Yerushalayim, because now there's a whole, now you have a bunch of people. See, until now it was a skeletal crew, and they were working primarily on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Beis HaMikdash complex. Now you have a whole bunch of people, thousands upon thousands of people who want to do the right thing. Now they can go and remove the altars from all out throughout Yerushalayim. Veis kolam mekatros, seisiru, and all of the things that were used for burning incense on their personal carbon, personal altars, they removed. Vayashlichol nachal Kidron, they threw it into the river Kidron. Vayishchatu haPesach, they slaughtered the carbon Pesach. Ve'arba'a asar lachodesh hasheni, the 14th of the second month of Iyar. Va'kohanim v'alavim nichlemu, and the Kohanim and Levim, they were shamed. Those who were slow to get themselves, to get their act together, they were shamed. They were ashamed. Vayiskachu, and this time they did sanctify themselves. Vayavu olos beis Hashem, they brought olos to the house of Hashem. Vayamdu al amdam kimishpatam, they stood on their at their posts as they are supposed to. Kisaras Moshe Yishmalakim, like it says in the Torah of Moshe. Hakonim zorkim esadam, the Kohanim was throwing the blood. Miyad halavim, from the hands of the levim, which means the levim did the shechita. The levim did the shechita. Now the shechita can be done by anybody, but so which means that the Israelim can also do the shechita. Anybody who brings a carbon can do the shechita if you know how. So why did the levim have to do the shechita? Why couldn't anybody help with the shechita? The answer is ki rabas ba'kohol shelo iskadashu, because there were many people who themselves were not sanctified. Va'levim ashchita sapsachim, and levim therefore did the shchita of the psachim lechol lo tahar, if anybody was not purified, lahakdish laHashem timakdish to Hashem. So many people were not tahar, and therefore they couldn't do the shchita. Now, if they're not tahar, they really can't eat from the carbon either. So they participated with however they could. But a lot of people couldn't actually participate in the real way. But as I'm trying to point out to you, this was a major celebration that transcended just bringing the carbon. They made this into a huge celebration. Because many of the nation, from Ephraim and Asher, Yisachar and Zvulun, from the northern kingdom, did not purify themselves. For they ate the Pesach not according to the Torah, which means they ate from the Pesach even though they were not tahar. Now that's an avera. Not allowed to do that. However, because Yechizkiyo davened for them, saying Hashem atov yichaper ba'ad, Hashem should atone for this. It appears that what happened is there was a Horasha, there was a dispensation made that even though they were not purified, they were able to eat from the carbon Pesach. Chizkiyahu davened that there should be a dispensation made. Kol levavo hechin lidrosh ha'alokim Hashem elokei avosav. All his heart Chizkiyahu, all of his heart, he established, he prepared to seek out Hashem, the God of his ancestors. Velo kitaras hakodesh. Now here, these words go back on the previous pasuk. The people ate the carbon, even though they were not purified for eating karbanos. Vayishma Hashem el Chizkiyahu. Hashem listened to Chizkiyahu. Vayirpa es ha'am, and he healed the nation. Now, I don't want to have a whole discussion about Harasha, about doing something which is really not according to the Torah. You do have a few examples where it is permitted. The classic case is Eliyahu HaNavi bringing a karbon on Har HaKarmel when he had the contest against the Nevi'e HaBaal. That was a Harasha. Normally, you're not allowed to listen to anybody who says to do something against the Torah. As it says itself in the Torah, you're not allowed to listen to a Navi. A Navi comes and says that you should do something that is against the Torah, then we don't listen to that Navi. However, there are situations where we do, and that is only where the Navi is already, because of many years of clearly being faithful to Hashem, and established as a clearly faithful Navi, then it can happen that something can be said that is not according to the Torah, like Eliyahu HaNavi bringing a karbon Har HaKarmel. So here's a similar type of situation to that.
What were they healed from?
From doing this, from eating the karbon, even though they were not tahar. They were healed from that. Vayasu v'nei Yisrael nimtzayim b'Yerushalayim es chag ha-matzos shivas yamim. They made this holiday of Pesach for 7 days. Now, as I said, it wasn't really a holiday. They didn't do anything wrong, but they celebrated for 7 days b'simcha gedola, with great happiness. U'mahalalim la-Hashem. They praised Hashem yom b'yom every day. Halavim v'akonim b'chlei oz la-Hashem, with mighty utensils to Hashem, which means with instruments, right? So Chizkiyahu spoke to all the Levim, Hamaskilim Seichel Tov Hashem, that were trying to do their best for Hashem. So they ate during this holiday of 7 days. They brought many karbanos, umisvadim la Hashem, and also they said vidui. They admitted their sins to Hashem. Then that wasn't enough. They wanted to do another 7 days. They did another 7 days of simcha. Another 14 days. These are the karbanos he brought. It was 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep. The sarim hirimu lakol parim elef. The sarim brought another 1,000 bulls, v'tzon aser salafim, 10,000 sheep, v'yiskachu kohanim larov, and many, many kohanim purified themselves. V'yismechu kol kahal Yehuda v'akonim alavim v'chol akol habayim Yisrael. So they were all very happy. V'agerim habayim eretz Yisrael, and also the converts, v'yoshim v'Yehuda. V'atisimcha gedolah b'Yerushalayim, there was a great simcha, ki mimei Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael, because from the days of Shlomo ben David, the king of Israel, lo chazos b'Yerushalayim, they had not had this in Yerushalayim. It was the first time in hundreds of years that they had such a celebration in Yerushalayim, such a turnout for the Karban. V'yakuma akonim alavim, v'yavarchu esam, the Karban alavim got up and they blessed the nation. V'yishama b'kolam, and their voices were heard. Vatavos filasam limon kachol hashamayim, and their tefilos came to the sanctified sanctuary up to the heavens. They were heard; these davenings were heard by Hashem. So this all is in the first year. It's right away in the days of Chizkiyahu. So everything else we're going to learn about Chizkiyahu, we have to know is, this is the foundational point, that Chizkiyahu was completely and totally focused on bringing everybody back to Hashem, to undo all the evil that his father did, as we talked about before, how he dragged his bones on a bed of ropes. He treated his dead father with disrespect on purpose, which is the right thing to do. The Chachamim agreed with him, was the right thing to do. And his whole goal here was to turn the whole country around, 180. Everything that his father did terrible, he quickly, right away, tried to reverse it. It didn't. Yeah, it didn't help with the Northern Kingdom by and large, and they do go into Golus. But in the Southern Kingdom, it helped a great deal. We're not done yet. We are going to stop here, but we're not done yet. We have Perek Lamed Aleph also, next chapter as well, in Divrei Hayamim, which is what we're going to have to lead off with next time, Mirtz Hashem, Bli Neder, next week. We'll have to start with that. Just to finish up, what happened in the first year of Chizkiyahu, all of this, you would then expect that now the Southern Kingdom's on Easy Street. They've done Shuva, they've turned everything around, but that's not what's going to happen. Eventually, Sancheirev, when he's done with the Northern Kingdom, is then going to focus on the Southern Kingdom and come after Chizkiyahu. And that's going to lead to this confrontation, this incredible confrontation between Sancheirev and Chizkiyahu, which is going to be the focal point of when Chizkiyahu could have become Mashiach. So we're going to get to that. Much to talk about before that, during that, a lot still to do. But we have to remember this first, this year of, that's, it's even the first few months of Chizkiyahu, in order to understand everything else that comes after that.
I have a question. When we're going back to the times of Esther, and they didn't have Pesach then either because they fasted on that day, did they have a Pesach Sheni that they celebrated in a way, like, was there a precedent? Or
they didn't have a Beis HaMikdash.
So it didn't matter.
Right. Well, and I wouldn't say it didn't matter, but they couldn't do what they did here.
But they could eat leaven on Pesach Sheni since they didn't eat matzah.
Yeah, they could. Yeah,
I mean, they didn't have matzah and maror because they were fasting.
Right.
So did they do Pesach Sheni?
They might have done, but it wouldn't help. It didn't. It wouldn't be a mitzvah. You know, there's no mitzvah to have matzah and maror and Pesach Sheni without the Karban Pesach.
Doesn't, so we do it today.
It's just it's not even a minhag. It's just a thing. You know, it's like people do it to remember Pesach Sheni. There's no real thing. A lot of people save some shmur matzah just to mark Pesach Sheni, but there's no halacha to do it. It's not a thing. But so in their day they couldn't. They just had nobody something with which to do it, and they couldn't. You can't make up Yontif. Yontif has to be on the 15th of Nisan. They couldn't make that up. Here, there's no Yontif. It's just the carbon.
That at least was another example of, like, Esther changing. Esther changing halacha, because halacha is
right. She asked Mordechai.
Nisan at all.
Yeah, Mordechai is the one who made the decree when she asked for it. That's right. Right. That's a good example. Right. But there's a lot more to hang your hat on, because that was pikuach nefashos. That was life and death. For life and death, you can fast on Pesach. So that was deemed to be a life and death situation.
Yeah, I find this unusual where it says, turn back unto the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We don't see.
Yes, it does have an occasion.
Does that appear anywhere else?
Yeah, it does. It does. Oh. Sometimes it says Israel instead of Yaakov. Avraham Yitzchak and Israel. Yeah. Most of the time it's Yaakov, and you're right. It is a curiosity, and there should be an explanation for it. I don't know what it is, but it's a good point.
Thank you.